A few weeks ago, we talked about the setting of biblical worship, and before that, we talked about the true biblical worship. And today, I want to talk about the sacrifice of biblical worship. And this will be part one. If you got your Bibles this morning, turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 26. And it says in Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 1 through 11, it says, "And it shall be when thou art come in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possesseth it, and dwellest therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall put it in a basket, and shall go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there, and thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God, that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand, and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God. And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, A Syrian ready to perish was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few, and became there a nation great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians evil entreated us, and afflicted us, and laid upon us hard bondage. And when we cried unto the Lord, God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice, and looked on our affliction, and our labor, and our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and with an outstretched arm, and with great terribleness, and with signs and wonders. And he hath brought us into his place, and hath given us this land, even a land that floweth with milk and honey. And now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land, which thou, O God, hast given me, and thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God, and worship before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee, and unto thine house, thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among you." First thing I want to look at is the worshipper's appreciation. As Israel is called to worship, they are reminded of the thoughts that should occupy the heart of any true worshiper. Biblical worship is far more than just gathering together to sing a few songs, pray a few prayers, preach a sermon, and then go home. Biblical worship has its foundation, a heart that is filled with love for God and what he has done for the worshiper. The children of Israel are told to approach him with appreciation for the wonderful things that God has done for him. You know, this morning it's not too hard for us to think about some things that the Lord has done for us. And we can think of many things that the Lord has done for us. look in verses 5 through 8. It says, "And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, A Syrian ready to perish was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned with a few, and became there a great nation, mighty and populous. And the Egyptians evil entreated us, and afflicted us, and laid upon us hard bondage. And when we cried unto the Lord, God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice, and looked on our affliction, and our labor, and our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and with an outstretched arm, and with great terribleness, and with signs and wonders." Has God brought you out of something? Have you been through something, and at the end of it, you came out on the other side, and you knew that God Almighty had been right there with you with his mighty hand and outstretched arm? He pulled you up close to himself and let you know that everything was going to be okay. You know, as I was studying this the other day, I thought about something that happened to us a few years ago. about maybe 4 years ago. She was during softball season. And Isabella, she came home one day after softball practice and had a real bad limp. She couldn't walk straight. Couldn't stand up straight. And my wife took her to the doctor. The doctor couldn't tell her what was wrong with her. Took her to another doctor. He couldn't tell her what was wrong with her. Went to a doctor over in Dothan. He said, well, she must have been born like that. So anyway, he told us that she needed to be in a wheelchair. She didn't need to have any weight on that leg for whatever reason. So we went up there and rented a wheelchair, pushed her around in a wheelchair for about a week, and got up one Monday morning to take her to another doctor. Went over to a doctor in Dothan. We actually went to the chiropractor in Andalusia. He looked at her. He told us, if I forget what he said he thought it was, but he said we need to take her to such and such doctor in Dothan. So we left Andalusia, went to Dothan that morning. He couldn't tell us what was wrong with her. So anyway, we left Dothan and ended up going to a doctor down in Pensacola that somebody had told us about. So we went to see this doctor down in Pensacola, and immediately we told the doctor what was wrong with her. The doctor runs some tests. She told us immediately what was wrong with her. That was on a Monday. They put her in the hospital on Monday. We stayed down there all week. On Friday morning, they done a surgery. She had fluid on her hip for some reason, and she couldn't stand up straight. She couldn't walk straight. And anyway, they pulled that fluid off her hip that Friday morning. It may have been on Thursday morning they did that. By Friday afternoon, we was headed back home. But during all that, you know, we had to go through some things we didn't understand. You know, she was playing ball, then she couldn't hardly walk. We didn't understand why we had to go through all that kind of stuff. But I went to this doctor. He didn't know what was going on. To that doctor, they didn't know what was going on. Went to this doctor. She knew exactly what was going on. You know, sometimes we have to go through some things in order to learn some things. And just like I told Isabella that day, she was going into that surgery room. She was scared and afraid, and we couldn't be in there with her. And I thought about the story of the Hebrew men that were thrown into the fiery furnace and how God was in the middle of the furnace with them. And I told her, read that story to her, and it brought peace and comfort to me just as well as it did her. So we have to go through some things. And God, He is always right there with us. But if we didn't go through trials and tribulations like that, we wouldn't learn things. And it helps increase our faith in the Lord when we go through things like that. So, you know, we will go through things. Even when we don't understand them, we'll go through them. You know, we go through things in life that we don't understand, and that's why we need to have faith and trust the Lord to help us through these things. True worship only happens when we learn to have faith in the Lord and we trust Him to lead us in our daily lives, and we show Him the appreciation that He deserves for all the things that He does for us. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." You know, giving thanks to the Lord, even in times of our tribulation, that's part of our worship. You know, we truly have so much to thank and worship the Lord for. If you are saved, you can thank Him for salvation and for heaven and for all the things that come with our heavenly home. When we asked the Lord to save us, we didn't have to ask Him for a mansion in heaven or all the things that are in heaven. All of that stuff comes with salvation. As I was sitting down studying this the other day and going over it, this song that I had been listening to prior to that just popped up in my head that morning. And, you know, I used to listen to a lot of country music and some rock music. And the Lord didn't ever speak to me through none of that kind of stuff. It's only stuff that lifts Him up and edifies Him that He'll speak to you through. So as I was listening to this song, it all went right along with this lesson. So I added in here, and I hope it makes as much sense to you as it did to me. But the name of the song is so much to thank him for. And it says, when I look around and see the good things he does for me, I know I'm unworthy of them all. And his blessings he freely gives. I owe my life to him. I've got so much to thank him for. So I added that in. Right here it says, number one, it says, when I look around and see the good things he does for me, I know I'm unworthy of them all. And then I thought about that for a minute. And in Romans 3:23 it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God truly is good to us. The truth is, we are all unworthy of all the things that God has done for us. And then number two, it says, and his blessings he freely gives. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Salvation is the biggest blessing that the Lord could ever give us. If you are saved today, isn't that enough to worship the Lord? Number three, it says, I owe my life to him. Romans 5:8 says, but God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And in John 3:16 it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you are saved, don't you think that you should live your life to try to please the Lord? Don't you think that you should worship him? Number four, it says in the song, I've got so much to thank him for. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then in 10:13 it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, we really do. If it was just salvation that the Lord gave us, we would have enough to thank him for. And then in the number five, it says, well, I've got so much to thank him for, so much to praise him for. You see, he has been so good to me. When I think of what he's done and where he's brought me from, I've got so much to thank him for. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We see in the chorus of this song, it says, I've got so much to thank him for, so much to praise him for. You see, he's been so good to me. When I think about what he's done and where he's brought me from, you see, it's all about him and not about us. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Whose grace? It's his grace, God's grace. You are saved through faith. What faith? Faith in him. We must believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that he died, was buried, and that he rose from the dead. We also see in the chorus of this song, it says, when I think of what he's done, it says in Ephesians 2:8, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You know, a lot of us, if we could, we would make it about us, and it wouldn't be about him. And a lot of times that's how we are. We want to get all the praise and glory for the things that the Lord has done, when truly it's about him, and we should give him the praise and glory for what he has done for us in our lives. It says, the Lord has given us many reasons that we can worship him for, but the greatest gift is salvation. And the best part about salvation is that we can't do anything to earn it. All we have to do is accept it. The last part of the chorus of that song says, I've got so much to thank him for. Ephesians 2:9 says, not of works, lest any man should boast. We can praise God that it's only by the blood of Jesus Christ that we can be saved and can't work our way to heaven. Therefore, we can't get any glory for it. Our worship must be all about Him. We should worship the Lord for His rewards. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 2, and then verse 9. It says, in verse 2 it says, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt put it in a basket, and shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place His name there. And then in verse 9, it says, and He brought us into His place, and hath given us this land, even a land that floweth with milk and honey. God had blessed the Israelites and gave them a land that floweth with milk and honey, and they thanked Him and worshiped the Lord by giving Him the first fruit of all the land. They didn't keep the best stuff and give God the leftovers. God don't want your junk. God wants your best. It don't matter if it's your money, your time, your talents. Make God a priority in your life, and everything else will come easier. We make time for the things that we think are important in our lives. We also give our money to the things that we think are important to us. How much do you give to the Lord each day? Are you praying? Are you paying your tithes? Has God put in your heart to support missionaries? Are you giving God your best? Psalms 86:12 says, I will praise Thee, O my Lord, with all my heart, and I will glorify Thy name forevermore. In verse number 2 of that song, it says, well, I've got so much to thank Him for, so much to praise Him for. You see, He's been so good to me. When I think about all He's done and where He's brought me from, I've got so much to thank Him for. And sometimes, while on this way, I kneel and I stop and say, Lord, thank You for all You've done for me, and one day I'll reach heaven's shore. Oh, please let me kneel once more. I've got so much to thank Him for. You know, every day we should be kneeling and praying and thanking the Lord and worshiping the Lord for all the things that He's done for us. Because one day we will reach heaven's shore if we're saved. And it's going to be all about Him and worshiping Him in heaven. It won't be all this stuff down here on earth. It won't have no choice but to worship Him when we get to heaven. Can you praise, worship, and glorify God with all your heart? Or are you a half-hearted Christian that's straddling the fence? You want God's blessing, but you want to disobey and continue living worldly lives. God has given us a land that's flowing with milk and honey and most anything else that our hearts desire. And many of us get caught up in all the things that please us and our flesh that we really don't know the true worship. We really don't know what true worship is. We come to church, sing a few songs, listen to the preacher preach, and go home in the same sad shape that we came to church in. You know, I can remember many times that I just came to church and sat on the pew. Just like I said, we came to church, we listened to some songs, sang some songs, we listened to the preacher preach, and we went home and continued to do the same things that we were doing before. We had no conviction because we were living in sin. And but at some point, if we want to really worship and serve the Lord, we have to put down those things that hinder our worship. We have to put away those same old sins that we keep on doing and repeating. It's like when we get under conviction, you know, we got to let go of that pew and we got to come up here and give that stuff to God and then see what He'll do in our lives. If we don't do that, that sin will continue to hinder your walk with Him. You know, a lot of times when the preacher preaches on sin and people get under conviction, you know, some people will get mad. They won't come back to church because they think the preacher is preaching directly to them. You know, maybe somebody told them what they were doing. I don't know. But the thing is, the Lord knows it all. And when that preacher preaches and you get under conviction, that's the Lord doing his job. But it's up to you to bring that stuff to the altar and give it to him. We must come to the Lord with gratitude. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 2 through 4. It says that thou shalt take the first of all the fruit of the earth which thou shalt bring of thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall put it in a basket, and shall go into the place which the Lord thy God shall choose, and place his name there. And thou shalt go unto the priest, and thou shalt be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God, that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God. Notice they were to take of the first of all the fruit and put it in a basket and go into the place of worship. Each of those acts bring to mind someone who is appreciative of all that the Lord has given them. Are you thankful for all the things that the Lord has given you? When we approach the Lord in worship, we should be grateful to him for all that he has done for us. In John, turn over to John chapter 4. John chapter 4 and verse 23, it says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is seeking true worshipers to worship him with gratitude for his blessings, and that will come into his presence with a heart full of praise and worship. See, it says back in that verse, it says, but the hour cometh, and now is. You know, now is the time that we should be seeking to worship the Lord. And we should worship him in spirit and in truth. And it says, for he seeketh such to worship him. So God is seeking us out to worship him. You know, it's up to us whether or not we're going to do that or not do that. We must come to the Lord with obedience. Look back in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and 2. It says, and it shall be, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possesseth it, and dwellest therein, thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall put it in a basket, and shall go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. The Israelites were told exactly how to come, what to bring, and where to go. Only those that follow God's plan are truly worshiping him. Worship always flows out of an obedient heart. If we are going to truly worship the Lord, we must first learn to obey his commands. John chapter 14, verse 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, it's easy for us to disobey somebody that we don't care about. But what about the Lord? You know, if we are saved, shouldn't we love the Lord? Shouldn't we want to keep his commandments and do the things that he's told us to do? Since worship is love for God in action, worship can be said to be obedience in action. If we are going to worship the Lord, our lives must line up with his word and with his will. Only when we are in a place of obedience are we truly in a place where we can worship. Look in Deuteronomy 26:10. It says, "And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which thou, O Lord, hast given me, and thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God and worship before the Lord thy God." When the worshiper came before the Lord with his gift from the field, he was giving the Lord back what the Lord had already given him. You know, everything that we have is because of the Lord. It's not, you know, we get up and go and work for it, but it's only by the grace of God that we can get up out of the bed and go work for it. And the truth is, it was costing him nothing. It all came from the Lord anyway. Look in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. First Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 14. It says, "But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee." So it's because of the Lord had blessed them so much right here that they was able to give back to the Lord so willingly. They didn't have to worry about it because the Lord was blessing them, and they was just giving back the Lord what he had already given them. Our worship should be the same way. We should take what the Lord has given us, and we should take the first fruits and give them back to the Lord with love, adoration, and worship. So while worship involves sacrifice, in the end, it really cost us nothing. You know, that goes back to paying tithes, you know. It says, you know, 10%. You give 10% back to the Lord, but that 10%, or if you even go above that 10%, you'll never miss it. Never miss it. He'll bless you so much more than what you have already given him. As we worship him for who he is and all that he has done for us, we need to remember that the things he has given us cost him something. See that? It cost him something. What was the price of his love? What was the cost of his grace? What was the value of our souls? It is all summed up in these verses. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." In Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You know, all that stuff we give back to the Lord, it came from the Lord. It really cost us nothing. But Jesus, the Lord, Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price for all of us. If you're saved in here this morning, he's paid that price for you. Shouldn't that be enough for us to want to truly worship him in our daily lives? You know, it's not just enough to come to church on Sunday morning. We need to come to church whenever we can, whenever the doors is open. But it's not just enough to come to church whenever the doors is open. We need to worship him every day of the week. And you know, we need to pray and thank him for all the things that he does for us daily, not just on Sunday morning or Wednesday night or Sunday night. We need to do that every day. And that's what I have for this morning. Brother Blake, would you dismiss us?